Yes, it's for Friday afternoon show with Chip
and Spud.
And we got a special guest in the studio.
We're live in the studio and we have a special guest. Yeah, let me introduce Mr. Will Taylor, who's from the Isle of Wight Hedgehog Rescue. Welcome, Will. We're going to be talking about, guess what? Hedgehogs.
Hedgehogs. Yeah.
So we're going to go drift a little bit from our usual routine on Friday. So first hour, we're going to be talking a lot about the work of the Hedgehog Rescue Team on the Isle of Wight, and also the predicament that hedgehogs are now actually in, and some of the background to that. So please stay tuned to listen into that. So, Will, good afternoon. And let's start off, really, with just an introduction about the Isle of Wight Hedgehog Rescue. So just, you know, how did it all start? And, you know, have you got a particular base? And what kind of work might be being done at the moment?
Yeah, thank you. And good afternoon. We were founded back in 2000 by a lady called Jackie Wilson. It started in November 2000. She used to look after squirrels, injured squirrels and birds. And one day in November, somebody brought an injured hedgehog in. And Jackie thought, oh, I don't know how to fix this. And learnt, and off we went. And as I say, we've been going now 24 years.
Wow.
Jackie's based in Seaview. We have a lady, Sally, we have a little hospital also in Cowes. We kind of split the island so that we can all get out and get them if people can't bring them in. Basically, we do what we call the three R's. We rescue them, we rehabilitate them, and then we release them. And we like to always release them back to where we've got them from, if we can. We can't always do that, because some people, strangely, don't want them back. But we have a group of people that are happy to help us. And if one isn't wanted back where it came from, then we'll call up whoever's going to help us, and we do what we call a soft release. So normally they provide a little hedgehog home. They'll put a bit of food and water out, and for a couple of nights the little hedgehog will hang around and establish his base, and then usually after that they're gone and never to be seen again.
What do hedgehogs like to eat?
Well, they're classed as carnivores, but they'll eat anything. They will literally eat anything that's put in front of them, but some of it's harmful. And as we were just discussing earlier, milk, people used to put milk out for them. Well, they're lactose intolerant, so we don't do that anymore. We encourage people to put water out. But they will eat, and they do enjoy dog or cat food, provided it's not fish-based, dry or wet, and they'll munch away on that happily.
Well, that's very interesting, Will. And you mentioned also about predators. And particularly some locations, it's difficult to actually do the release. So do you want to explain what kind of predators they might have?
Yeah, the natural predator is the badger. And that's basically, they're the only creature that can, when they ball up, because that's their method of defence, a badger can put his paw in and rip his little muscle. And unfortunately, that's their demise. However, if there's plenty of food around, the badgers will eat their food. You know, and they eat the same food. We work with the badger people on the island when we do releases, so we liaise with them if we're going to do a release in an area, just to ensure that the badger population is manageable.
Well, we're going to go on to conservation and preservation, and the International Union for Conservation for Nature, the IUCN, I'll get it right, they've just actually downgraded the status of the Western European hedgehogs. So they have a red list, and the hedgehog has been downgraded from least concern to near threatened. So what does that actually mean, Will?
Well, to be absolutely honest with you, I don't concern myself too much with that. I'm just happy that they're on the red list. Not happy that they're on the red list, but it's a fact that we can identify that they need help.
Yes.
And yes, there's categories within the red list, and sometimes they'll fluctuate. Generally, to qualify that, what happens is there needs to be a 30% decline in a period of 10 years. Well, in fact, the hedgehogs is a lot worse than that. So
I think the numbers are absolutely unbelievable, and you've mentioned some of the numbers on the decline in the UK.
Yeah.
But it's not just in the UK, it's across Europe as well.
Yeah, recently some of the studies that have been carried out have shown that there's been a very sharp decline in Europe. In the UK, you know, there's lots of facts and figures out there. The problem being is that they're very difficult to try and assess numbers. Sometimes it is a little bit finger licked in the air.
Yeah.
But the one that I've read about on many occasions, I always quote, is in the last 50 years that it's estimated they've gone from 35 million in the whole of the UK to just over a million.
Wow, I mean, that's just unbelievable, isn't it? It's horrific, actually.
Catastrophic.
Catastrophic. That's the word for it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I can remember, you know, I'm of a certain age when I was a child, and, you know, where we lived in a city, we'd regularly see hedgehogs in the gardens. But we're gonna come on to that in a little bit. So stay tuned with us, and we're going to talk more about hedgehogs very soon. Mm. And our special guest today is Mr. Will Taylor from the Isle of Wight Hedgehog Rescue. Now, we were talking a little bit earlier about some of the threats that hedgehogs are facing and a little bit of background. But, Will, how did you get involved in interest and, you know, the inspiration to volunteer and get involved with Hedgehog Rescue?
Like many people, there was an incident when I was a small child. Basically, I had to help my nan with one that had got caught up in some netting in the garden. And as an eight-year-old child, I remember looking at it thinking, what on earth is this?
They are a bit unusual to look at, aren't they?
Yeah. And it was a hedgehog. And basically that sparked an interest. And all through my life, I've secretly, up until probably about 10 or 11 years ago, just read and built up knowledge in any books, any information. I just had a fascination.
They got spikes as well. They have loads of spikes on their body.
Yeah,
they're not spikes. I think they're called something else.
Quills.
They're quills.
Yeah.
Let's have a little quiz then. Okay, how many quills has a hedgehog got?
I'm going to guess five.
Five? Oh, come on, Chip. You can do better than that. Really?
500.
I'm going to say 5,000 quills on a hedgehog. So, Will, give us the answer.
You're almost there. Between 5,000 and 7,000 on an average 8-inch hedgehog.
Wow. That's incredible. That's a lot of quills, isn't it?
And it's developed nail, basically. It's keratin, and it's toughened nail that they use to protect themselves.
Wow. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about the threats that hedgehogs are facing. So can you explain, you know, what are the key issues in terms of their threat against them?
Yeah, sure. There are many, and I've got a little list here. But, I mean, number one is loss of habitat. And as I mentioned earlier, I think there's 25% of the United Kingdom landmass is used for arable farming, which is sprayed with pesticides. So there's nothing there for the hedgehogs. We've lost 60% of our hedgerow in the last 30 to 40 years. That's estimated about 600,000 miles of hedgerow has been taken out.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of schemes now to try and sort of re-establish hedgerows on farmland.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, that's a good thing.
It doesn't, and that just doesn't affect hedgehogs, it affects other species too.
Yes.
Obviously, there's more roads. I read a stat a couple of weeks ago that there's 260,000 miles of road in the country, in the United Kingdom. And one of the problems we used to have was pesticide use, slug pellets.
Yes.
But luckily, 2 years ago, ourselves, the British Hedgehog Preservation Society, we campaigned to have the use of metaldehyde, which is in the old slug pellets, banned. And it was 2 years ago. And I have to say, we've noticed a significant decrease in poisonings that come in now.
Yeah.
And it was a sad sight to see, with a poor little hedgehog full of poison.
Yeah, and you mentioned before about what they like to eat, things like dog food, cat food, not milk because they're lactose intolerant, and also water as well.
The natural diet is gastropods and arthropods, and so basically it's slugs and snails, beetles, caterpillars, stuff like that. Apparently their smell is greater than a dog's, and they can smell a worm 4 inches deep and dig down and eat it.
Wow. That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they're also long-distance travellers as well, aren't they?
Recent survey, a few years ago, there was a survey done on Newtown on the island, and they tagged a little male hedgehog, a little boar. And he was travelling around about 3 kilometres a night within his little radius of about a mile, kilometre and a half, far from their nest, he was doing about 3 kilometres a night, which the scientists estimate is us walking about 14 miles a night to find food and a mate.
That's incredible, isn't it? Now, we're just wondering what a male hedgehog's called, what a female hedgehog is called, and what a baby hedgehog is called. Have you got any ideas, Chip?
Probably...
How about baby? What's a baby called?
Is it a boar?
No, that's the male.
That's the male.
Okay. But the babies are hoglets.
Hoglets.
And the female's a sow. And they're it's the same as a pig. And there's different theories on how we came to that. But basically speaking, one of them is that they snuffle and snort and make the noises like a pig. And the other one, unfortunately, is in ancient times when they used to eat them, allegedly they taste of pork.
But you also said that they were revered in the past as well, you know, as hedgehogs. They weren't just eaten. So, yeah, we'll talk about that as well.
Sure, the Egyptians thought they were snake-proof because a lot of the snakes couldn't bite through the quills. They used to leave them alone and or couldn't just get the poison into them. So the Egyptians actually revered them.
Well, thanks, Will. We're going to talk more about hedgehogs. We're in the studio this afternoon with Mr. Will Taylor.
We are.
The Isle of Wight Hedgehog Rescue. And we've heard some very interesting facts and information. And the problems facing hedgehogs is not just local, national. It's actually global. And we just ask Will, you know, what's being done nationally and locally, you know, things, the schemes and how people can actually get involved and help.
Well, there's lots of information being sent out and put out and made available, basically by two bodies, the People's Trust for Endangered Species and the British Hedgehog Preservation Society. And they produce lots of leaflets, lots of information and things that we can do to help our little hedgehogs. And there's a really good little booklet called Hedgehog Street that they both produced with lots and lots of information that can be supplied upon request.
And they've actually introduced hedgehog street schemes as well, haven't they?
They have, yes, and we would encourage that because one of the things that we try to push and one of the problems that happens in modern life is that when people have fencing repairs or new fences put up, they actually put them right down to gravel boards, right down to ground level.
And that basically seals off any access for the hedgehogs. As we said, they do move around quite a lot.
Yeah.
And in an urban area, they need those little holes in a fence, maybe, just so that they can work their way through the gardens.
Yeah, and it is literally the size of a CD. It's about a 5-inch diameter, and they can squeeze through that and get in. And that allows them to get enough food, because, as we said earlier, they travel up to 3 kilometres a night, and that's to get food.
Now, we've all heard of Neighbourhood Watch, haven't we, as well? But there's the Hedgehog Champions too.
Yes, there is, yep. Yeah. And we've got one on the island. One of the landscape gardening contractors is a part of that scheme. Basically, to help when they're cutting grass and overgrown areas, to help look out for hedgehogs.
Well, thank you, Will. We'll talk more about hedgehogs towards the end of the show on Vectis Radio, and you're listening to Chip and Spud on the Friday afternoon show.
You are, yes.
And also in the studio we have Mr. Will Taylor from the Isle of Wight Hedgehog Rescue.
We do, yeah.
So, Will, there's a big event coming up, Bonfire Night.
Pretty soon,
next week.
And fireworks.
So what should people be aware of, you know, in terms of hedgehogs and bonfires and the issues that there might be?
Well, to a hedgehog, a bonfire is like a sweet shop to a child. It's absolutely perfect. And if you've built one, they will be attracted to go there and possibly nest. And there's some simple measures really that you can take to avoid them being burned. First and foremost, if you're going to build one, please try and put a little fence around it. Up to about knee high, from knee high to a metre, something really steep and slippery, and they can't get in. If you can't do that, then move it on the day that you intend to burn it. If it's too big and you can't do that, then just get a broom handle, something that's not sharp, and a torch, and just lift different areas along the floor and have a look and a listen, because sometimes you'll also hear them snuffling and snorting.
Almost like a bit of a warning signal, really, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. And finally, a big mistake a lot of people make is when they actually light the bonfire, they put the accelerant right the way around the base of the bonfire. If you just do a quarter of that area and light it, And albeit it's natural defences to ball up, they will, if the fire starts, there's a chance for it to get out, and there's an opportunity for it to get out. Whereas if it's completely burning all the way round, it's a death sentence.
Well, thanks, Will. Now, if people have been interested in what you had to say and they want to get involved with the Hedgehog Rescue, is there a contact number or a website or something that they can contact?
Yes, we have our telephone number is Isle of Wight, which is 01983, and it's 613145. That's our little hospital at Seaview. And as I said earlier, we have another little one in Cowes. We also have a Facebook site, which is Save Our Hedgehogs Isle of Wight. If you go into Google and just put Isle of Wight Hedgehogs, you'll find us.
And there's a lot of information if you search on the internet about the hedgehog rescue on the Isle of Wight, but also nationally as well.
And when you release for hedgehogs, what's the best type of what's the best time of year to release?
Well, that varies, obviously, on when the hog came in, and we have to get it up to a certain weight, especially there's special dangers at this time of year because of hibernation, the risk of hibernation. We have to get their weight up to a certain degree because they lose 33% of their body weight in hibernation. If they're too small, they'll die. So it varies, and we always, when we release them, it's at twilight.
And they're about to go into hibernation soon, aren't they, when the weather gets colder?
It's, yeah, but 5 degrees and below, they'll start to hibernate.
Thank you for coming into the studio this afternoon, and we'll get you on again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Will. It's been really interesting, and a lot of great information there for people to listen to.